Son, never stop learning.
So Josh, one of the biggest challenges for any startup is simply getting noticed. And you're saying that problem is actually getting worse right now. Why is that?
Yeah, AI has significantly decreased the barriers to entrepreneurship. So there are more people building things than ever, which means more noise. The question of how you get people to see and try what you're making is harder to answer than it used to be.
And what's the tempting but wrong response that a lot of founders fall into?
It's what I call buckshot growth. You just YOLO a bunch of content into an algorithm and hope the algorithm does your work for you. That feels like the default strategy for a lot of new companies. But I think it's an abdication of responsibility.
So what should founders be doing instead?
Spend real effort understanding the new channels opening up around you. We're in a rare moment when whole new ways of using the internet are appearing. In times like these, the best growth opportunities often show up before anyone has written a playbook.
You've talked about growth hacking going in waves. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Real hardcore growth hacking happens in waves. The really fun stuff happens when there's a new distribution paradigm and the rules are still being written. That's when you have the most room to experiment.
You have a pretty vivid example of this from your own experience, right? Something involving Facebook app invitations?
Yeah. The first spec I ever wrote as a growth PM was built around how Facebook handled app invitations. Facebook used to throttle the number of invites a user could send to protect the platform from spam. It looked at the acceptance rate of invites coming from your app.
So the higher the acceptance rate, the more invites you could send?
Exactly. For a brand new app, a user could only send 8 invites at a time. They'd select 8 friends and had to start the whole flow over if they wanted to invite more. So I started looking at that heuristic and asking how we could unblock it.
And what did you come up with?
We created bots. For every app, we had an army of fake Facebook accounts sending invites to each other and accepting them. Our acceptance rates were at 100%. So when we launched publicly, real users could send many more invites from the start, which led to a much bigger growth moment.
That's wild. And you also experimented with incentives and copy, right?
Right. We'd lock features until enough of your friends were playing, or 16 friends would have to click a button to unlock something, and everyone got a prize if they did. And we played around with the copy a lot, too.
What was the most successful message you found?
One of the best offered a gift you could send only to your BFFs, your best friends forever. Based on your game behavior, we'd show you your 16 BFFs. For the recipient, the message was that you ranked them highly. That gave them a real reason to click.
And this all worked because nobody really knew what they were doing on Facebook yet.
Exactly. It was like shooting fish in a barrel because everything worked as long as you had no shame. That was a long time ago, when no one knew what the hell to do on Facebook.
So where do you see that same kind of wide open opportunity today?
Agents. I want to understand how they decide what to use and what a startup can do to get in front of them. It's the Wild West again. Agents are going to do more and more of our tasks as individuals, workers, and organizations.
Do you have a concrete example of a company already thinking this way?
Yeah, LazyWeb. They have an MCP server that product managers and designers can use to come up with ideas for optimizing their flows. Their growth idea was simple. A bunch of agents are going to interact with this tool, so let's tell those agents to use it as the default.
So they're essentially telling the agent to bookmark them.
Exactly. In effect, they were telling the agent to bookmark them for the next time it did anything like this. And the opportunity starts with understanding what determines distribution on the platform, just like it did with Facebook.
So how does a founder actually develop that kind of understanding? What does the work look like?
You have to be a student of the game. Look at the reasoning traces of your agents. Try to understand how decisions are being made. What is interacting with what? Then go out there and shamelessly test things.
You have a great line about dignity in here.
Dignity is reserved for when all the low-hanging fruit has been picked off by the people with no dignity, and all you're left with is mature channels. For an early-stage startup, there's a huge advantage to being first.
But you're not saying anything goes, right?
No. Don't be evil. Don't be seedy. The fact that a channel is new doesn't mean anything goes, but you should be bold. When no one else has tried something, you have more room to experiment and ask for forgiveness.
What about the more established channels, like TikTok, Instagram, Twitter? Should founders just ignore those?
No. If a mature channel is working and everyone's using it, go play there. UGC and AI-generated UGC on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter are table stakes. Be smart and disciplined about those, but also reserve some of your time to do crazy stuff.
So it's not either or. It's about also making room for the moonshots.
Right. Don't just take your growth story from the existing literature. It's very easy to see what another successful startup did and decide you have to do the same thing. But as an early-stage startup, if you just do what everyone else does, it's very unlikely you'll succeed.
And even if someone is a great storyteller, you're still saying that's not enough on its own?
Maybe you're an S-class storyteller. There aren't many people who can count on that. Either way, I'd still do the work of finding smaller communities where people care about what I'm building.
What does that look like in practice?
Are you going to the niche subreddits and Discords where those people spend time? Are you doing the things that require real work and effort to get in front of people who actually care about the problem you're trying to solve? That's the real question.
And that's really the core of why you push back on founders outsourcing this to an algorithm.
Exactly. You should be much more opinionated about who might care about what you're building and whether the story you're telling resonates with those people. If you've tried all those things, gotten in front of those people, and still haven't gotten traction, then maybe your product or business just isn't there yet.
So to bring it all together, don't hand your growth off to an algorithm. Study how new platforms actually work. Find the mechanics you can exploit before anyone else does. Go find the specific people who care, and reserve real time for moonshot channels alongside the mature ones. Next time, we'll go even deeper into how to identify and act on those emerging distribution opportunities.